Good morning again.
Good morning.
Gilles and I are going to talk to you about the Metro platform. The Metro is coming, as I like to say it, and we don't want you to miss the ride. Windows 8 Metro platform brings a new philosophy and brings new rules, so it's really important that all of you have that introduction to the platform. This session, why are we doing this session? You might have seen it's the only developer session planned for this slot. Hello, Room 8 also, because it's also being streamed to Room 8. Again, why? Because it's so important that in order to follow the rest of the sessions around Windows 8 Metro, that you have this introduction to the platform. And also, Windows 8 is actually coming in a consumer preview or beta in 15 days exactly. So it's a great moment to get ready. Now, we are going to look at the preview of Windows 8 with the developer preview. I might mention here that we might have a failure at some point, or a catastrophic failure. I know I have one, so I promise you one thing before the end of the session, if the demos themselves don't crash, you'll have something to make fun of. But we're going to focus on an overview of the platform to give you an idea, and then dive into the Windows runtime specifics with an overview of different elements, the platform, the languages, the tools. Angela and I are going to do that together. We're also going to finish off with some information around the store. All right, so a preview with Windows 8 as is it available today. Now, personally, I think 2012 is going to be a great year. So in 15 days, we have the first public consumer preview of Windows 8. I'm sure a lot of you will install it. At the same time, we also have Visual Studio 11 and lots of stuff coming out, so I think it's going to be a great year. Because Windows 8 is really Windows reimagined. It's Windows reimagined and apps reimagined. The applications are working in a different way altogether. Take a look at the new lock screen in Windows 8. This is the new lock screen. Let's go back to login screen in Windows 7. The lock screen in Windows 8 is totally different. It's personal. It has beautiful photography, personal photography, of course. It also has, very interestingly, the information comes right to you. So you have your appointments, you know if you have a network connection, if you have new emails you have to check. Maybe you don't even have to unlock the screen, just glance and go. So I think it's a good moment now to switch to a demo. I'm using a tablet, and let me switch to the right slide. I'm using a tablet, and the tablet has been provided to the Build attendees, a conference in September. And I hope I switched correctly. Sorry, my mistake there. So this Windows, the tablet, actually it's in a docking station right now just for transmitting the display. Otherwise, I could show it up and take it around. Now, this is my lock screen. Actually, this is a picture we took one day before the Build conference, before Windows 8 was previewed. And I took a picture, and I'm going to log in. And because I have a touch tablet, I'm also going to log in with a picture password. Now, of course, this is not the only way to log in. It is one of the options. In a corporate environment, you might disable that. So the new Metro interface allows me, the first thing I see is a lot of applications and information coming up. So it's also using tiles in the same metaphor as in Windows Phone. So if you know Windows Phone, you might recognize that. But it's still a full computer. I can log in as a different user, log off, and choose how I use the computer and if I use Windows Live or corporate environment. I'm going to open up a few of the applications. Now what you see is all these applications are demo applications. A lot of them have been created by interns over the summer at Microsoft, so these are not really the full applications yet. I'm going to press the Start button, and all applications you will see are going to be installed through the store. So consumer applications will all be discoverable and installed through the store. As you can see today, the store is not available. So it has been these applications have been installed. For example, my Facebook, which is also dangerous to show because you never know what people put up there. My Twitterama, which is an application that goes into Twitter. And Windows 8, I can use all those applications and really take the full space. It's kind of immersive applications. And then there's a few ways to interact with the applications. For instance, I can use the swiping from the left. So there's a few swipes, swiping from the left to switch between applications. I can also, let me open the weather application. I noticed there's something wrong there. It's no 38 degrees in here, of course. It is actually simply the settings to Fahrenheit. So you have the swipe from the left, you also have the swipe from the right. And swipe from the right gives you charms, and well, we call these charms, gives you a way to connect to other elements in the system. And every application has access to this. For example, I press the settings, and always, users know that settings for your application, if you expose them, you will expose them through the settings charm and the settings element. So I can simply choose it there. So that's swipe from the swipe from the left, swipe from the right, and I'll show you a few others in a minute. I also have a swipe from the bottom or the top. If I swipe from the bottom or the top, I have an app bar, and an app bar is standardized as well. For example, what I could do here is add... we don't have a network connection. That's interesting. I could also swipe, and what I was going to show you is how to add another city, but anyway. Let's go back to home by pressing the home screen, or the home key on the keyboard as well. And let's go into, for example, I can go into Twitterama. And one thing that's really important in Metro is the way that applications communicate and integrate with Metro. So, for example, I have Twitter here, and I could say, oh, I want to add some text, and I want to add a picture. So I press the picture, and instead of saying, I want to insert a picture that's on my hard drive, I can actually integrate with a contract as an application, and I can say, I'm going to go look for photos on my Facebook application that's local. I think I have a slight network issue here, so pictures are not showing up, so I'll just cancel there. But this is a way that allows applications, also your applications, to expose interfaces inside of other apps without them knowing at all of each other through these contracts, and we see that more in detail. Let me go back to the headlines application. If it's going to load, if I have a network issue, I might not be able. Let's skip that and go into popular sessions, for example. I'm in one of the applications. What I can also do at any point is share a specific information. Now, if I'm browsing in a detail on a photo or some element of an application, I can offer myself as an application, subscribe to a contract, which allows me to say, okay, I have something to share, and I can simply share it with any application that is able to receive, for example, our text or an image or something like that. So that's another of those very specific contracts that you can use using these swipes from the right with the share charm. Now, what is also in the list is the connection to devices, so you can project or play too. And also something very common is the way that all search for all files and applications, or even search within any application that exposes search results, can be done. So I can simply type in here, I'm looking for Metro sessions or Metro as an element inside any of these applications. So I can do it in the built application, which is now open, or I can go for example, Internet Explorer. And Internet Explorer cannot display the page. Really sorry for the network connection there. But otherwise, every application will simply receive that query and display a custom resource page. The same thing, I can also search for apps and search for any element within one single search. Now, there's also the element of, okay, so I have Metro. What happens to normal applications such as Visual Studio or other applications? Well, I still have a desktop. I still have a classic mode. And here is important, everything that you're used to using in Windows 7 will continue to run in Windows 8. So that's also a very important point to know here. All right, so let's switch back to the slides. And this time, I didn't forget to switch. So for the Metro platform, when you look at the way Metro apps are built, the system, the Metro experience, there's a few of really key investments, and I invite you to look into the sessions that were given at Build. For example, to learn how the user experience should take advantage of contracts and elements in the app, in the Metro application platform. There's a few sessions that you should check out at the Build keynote, and also during today and tomorrow. So there's a big investment in the new UI and the experience of apps, also between apps. Applications in Metro are touch first, but they work perfectly with a mouse and keyboard. That's also very important. And also important is try your let your application do stuff in a fantastic and a great way, but focus on activities that are great in that application. Don't try to do 100 things in a mediocre way. Try to communicate, to use those contracts to communicate with other applications that might extend your application instead of trying to do everything yourself in a less than perfect way. There's also something really important. I am using a prototype tablet here. There's a few tablets out there that already run Windows 8 if you install the preview. But of course, in the future, there will be lots of form factors coming. So it's interesting to know and get prepared, get your applications prepared for those new form factors. There's in the keynote of the first day of Build, you will see a lot of those devices already being shown. Now, this is the Metro, the experience that you saw. Now, let's dive into the platform for developers, the thing that really interests us, all of us. So the platform in Metro, there's some major changes to the platform. This entails major changes to the platform. It's really about new runtime, new APIs, the Windows runtime APIs. They give access to the underlying system, to the OS. And we also give you with that great tools and a developer experience. Next to that, we have the application execution environment. It's a new application execution environment that is really created to make users discover via the store and install applications and run applications in a way that they can trust. The confidence of the user is really important. They know they can trust those applications because they don't go out of their context, of their domain. Now, let's take a look at how the Windows runtime is represented. Now, I'm not going to call this a platform slide because that would be a kind of an overstatement. So let's call this a collection of boxes, big and small boxes, to represent what the Windows runtime APIs are. So the Windows runtime APIs are integrated and run directly, have direct access to the underlying OS. The Windows runtime APIs are all native. They're all built in native C++. They're in-memory binary interface with direct invocation, so they're really, really low overhead to talk to the OS. These runtime APIs are also are built to allow you to use different languages to develop your application. So it's also the developer experience is really important. It's up to you as a developer to decide if you're going to use C++, C#, so managed languages, C# or VB, or if you're more of a web developer, have a web background, or the project at hand requires you to focus on HTML and JavaScript. There's also full support for JavaScript, HTML, and CSS applications. The Windows runtime, it's built around a new unified type system, and it's really important to know, it's not a framework on top of the OS. It's really Windows Runtime APIs. They're actually built together with the OS. They're, when we compile Windows, we also build the Windows Runtime. And we generate metadata. So we generate metadata so that we can, so that you can, as a developer, you do, can do call compositions, but we can use that metadata to project these Windows Runtime APIs into any language we really want, actually. So this is really important. It allows you for creating, developing Metro-style applications. It is really around choosing the language that you are familiar with, that you already know, or that you need for that project. Now, big investment in the languages, in the runtime. There's also a really important element, which is the performance. These runtimes are built for performance, are optimized for performance, because applications running on Metro are immersive, so the user is using the full application, and they need to be fast on x86 machines, but also on ARM machines, as you might have seen, which are also going to run Metro applications. The next thing is what happens if you have your normal desktop apps. Well, of course, you have your desktop apps and you invest in a lot of applications today. This is not lost. This is still totally valid. If you have investments in .NET, Silverlight, you're still going to run those in Windows 8. It doesn't change. It might be an addition. It doesn't really change there. So existing investments are still totally valid. For example, also if you run, if you're building services, NT services or drivers, you're not going to do that in Metro. So there's really still a desktop side there. And with that, I think it's time for a demo. And you
yes.
Start the demo?
I will start the demo. Switch to my machine first. Okay. So I am running the Windows 8 developer preview here on my regular laptop. So no touch enabled device. And in that developer preview, there is a version of Visual Studio already installed, which is the Express Edition that I'm going to start here, as you can see. It is an Express Edition that only allows you to build Metro-style applications. If you install Visual Studio 11, which is already available as a developer preview as well, the templates that I'm going to show you in just a second are going to work in there as well. But I'm going to use the Express Edition just for now. So this is just Visual Studio. This is not a complete new environment. It is just Visual Studio. You can click on the new project here, and then we see the new project template dialog. And as you can see, the language projections are at work here. You can see that I can build Metro-style applications in C++, in JavaScript, in Visual Basic and C#. As you can see here, the templates, let me scroll through them. The templates that are available for each of these languages are exactly the same. And this is actually quite normal because I'm from each of these languages using the WinRT components. WinRT is being projected into these languages. So what I can build in one language, I can certainly build it in another language as well. Now, to start, I am going to try remembering what I learned at school, some C++. I'm going to do this first Hello World application in C++. We are legally obliged to build a Hello World. Okay, so I'm going to do that.
Not Hello Cruel World?
No, regular Hello World this time. Let me call it Application 29. Okay. So I'm going to do it in C++. For the C++, are there any C++ developers in the room? Okay, so if I go horribly wrong, you can still help me out. Okay, so this is regular C++, but something is new for the C++ developers among us. They can now also benefit from the richness of XAML. They no longer have to use things like MFC. They can use XAML, as you can see here. For the managed developer, this is exactly the same thing. This is pure XAML, as you know, from Silverlight, from WPF, or from Windows Phone. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build that Hello World. Let me scroll this thing up a bit. And let me type some XAML. I'm going to create a text block. There we go. Give it a name. Don't give it a text. Let's call that my text block. Learn to type first. And give it a font size so the people in the back can read it as well. 40. That's something that you know if you've done some XAML, I think. And let's also create a button. Give it some content. Click me. and give it a name as well, my button, and then give it a click event handler, click equals new event handler, boom. Nothing special. If you know XAML, you know what I've done here. This is regular XAML, nothing particular going on. I right-click on this, say navigate to event handler, and then I arrive in the event handler. So I can now say my text block text is equal to hello world. So this should work if I put a semicolon behind of it. Let's run it. Let's try running it. So I'm now compiling this. It's native C++. This is compiling into a native x86 instruction stream. If I were to do this targeting ARM, this would, like you said, compile into an ARM instruction stream. When we are through, it is going to compile into an executable, and that executable, very soon you'll see it appearing, if you can read it, there's an executable, and that executable is being packaged in something called an Apex recipe, and that Apex recipe is then published into my Metro environment here on my local machine. And so let's try if I've done everything correct, and there we have the typical Hello World application. Now, let me show you one more thing. So, apart from getting C++, apart from getting XAML into C++, everything that you know and love, like breakpoints, are still here. So, for example, I can simply say my text block. Not a regular C++ developer, as you can see. So I'm going to put a breakpoint here. I'm going to run it again. And so I've written select all just to do something that it will hit the breakpoint. There we go. Click on the button again. There we go. And as you can see, I'm now hitting that breakpoint, just as if it would hit that breakpoint in regular Visual Studio if you do it in WinForms or whatever. And if I go to the disassembly code, which is Alt-8, you can see that select all from my code is resulting in a vtable call to select all. So this is from very high, so in the regular C++, to very low in the disassembly code. So this is exactly the call in the WinRT component that you see happening here. So I think you've seen that we can build this application from C++. Perhaps we go back to slide now.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Switch to... Okay.
So what we have seen is indeed that you can use XAML in C++ now. That's really it's really new. And for all of you that know XAML and do it in C#, you might or VB, you might do it in C++ now if you want to build applications, Metro applications in C++. We also saw that all the WinRT APIs are native, and this is a really really important element. Now, let's switch back from C++ to more general Windows runtime. Now, the Windows runtime is a major platform change. So the Windows runtime APIs deliver major platform changes that are really tuned for performance. And if we look at what you can do as a developer to access the underlying system, we'll look at what Windows Runtime APIs offers. So first of all, we have the system services, threading, schedulers, threading, timers, and such that run on the core. On top of that, we have a great media stack. Windows Runtime delivers a great media stack for capturing. For playback, there's also something called the. There's also a possibility to deliver a stream to any DLNA device, which is a protocol for sending streams to for example, televisions or things like that. And this is interesting because it integrates directly with the Play-2 contract, one of the charms that I showed you in the right pane. There's also, of course, access to the device itself and to the sensor. So Windows Runtime APIs expose those as well. If you want to access geolocation, if you want to access NFC and some of the devices, that will allow you to do that as well. Now, you might have seen that in my case, it was a bit of a problem, the fact that metro applications are highly connected. So you need access to data and communications, and the Windows Runtime APIs deliver you that connectivity. And also the communication stack allows you to integrate with those contracts that we talked about, and you can integrate with data and with the services in many ways. You have support for JSON and for all kinds of services. Now, on top of that, we have the presentation layer. And here it's really important to see that you have a presentation, a UI layer in XAML to create your UI. But you also have, and it's really at the same level, on equal footing, you also have an HTML5 and CSS, so HTML and CSS-based UI version. So you can choose. Both of them are hardware accelerated because on top of all, and it's really, really important for us, is performance is one of the top design goals for the Windows Runtime API. So everything that relates to performance will come to the front. On top of that, you also have, or next to that, you also have the controls, and you have a set of controls that you can use and integrate with the tiles on the home screen that you might have seen in the beginning. Now, maybe you can do a demo in C# as well.
Back to my comfort zone.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed, in C#, you showed, I'll let you switch on, you showed us XAML in C#.
Yes.
You are Silverlight MVP, so you love XAML. You're used to XAML all the time. Is it the same XAML?
It is the same XAML. Let's try that out.
Yes.
So this is my C++ demo. I'm not going to bother you any longer with trying to type C++, but I'm going to copy this XAML. I'm going to start a new instance of Visual Studio. And now I'm going to go back, like I mentioned, to my comfort zone, to C#. And I'm going to build the same Hello World application. Don't give it a name. Don't type anything in. And there we go with Google. And as you can see, the same XAML. And I'm going to paste it in. There we go. And as you can see, it's going to work in the exact same fashion. The reason that this actually works is because I'm using the same WinRT component. The Windows UI XAML component is actually where the XAML resides. So it is part of Windows now. It is part of WinRT. So XAML has become something native. So I'm using the exact same XAML namespace and the exact same XAML component. So that is actually why this thing works. So if I then go here in the event handler and write my text block, I should have followed a typing course before coming on stage. There we go. Is equal to hello world. And this should work as well. Again, because we're doing the exact same thing. As you can see, this will also compile into an executable packaged into an Apex recipe, and that Apex recipe is then pushed into my Metro environment, and I can click on the button, and the same XAML does its job. Okay. I think you asked me here on stage to do little more than hello world.
Please.
Okay. So what we did do is we prepared an application in the honor of having Scott Guthrie here on stage this morning. And the application, we named it the Gooify. Let me close these Visual Studios down.
Can you guess what it is?
Well, it is going to raise my level a bit. It is going to raise me a bit more in the direction of Scott Guthrie himself. So let's try it out.
Let's see.
So it's a finished application. Application, or let's say demo, that is actually, I'm going to explain you several concepts that are coming between our Metro style applications together with this application. So, as mentioned, I will be able through this application to Gooify myself. And that, I think that's going to be a new verb now, that to Gooify yourself.
Okay. Gooify or Gooify?
Gooify
not
myself.
Gooey.
Yeah, okay, Gooify myself. So, there we go. So this is a regular UI built in traditional XAML, with some buttons and some text blocks on there. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to select an image which I want to use inside of my application. So Windows 8 Metro-style applications, they run inside of their own Metro environment, and they don't have direct access with system resources. They cannot simply say, well, I want to read out a file on the C drive. They can't say that. More or less the same concept as Silverlight. Silverlight applications can't directly access your hard drive either. So through some contracts, let's say, they can access your system resources. And one of those contracts is the file picker. And this is the file picker in action. This is the file picker UI. The file picker basically allows you, through user interaction, to select a file and give access to that file from your Windows 8 Metro style application. It is basically a file open dialog, but it's metrified. That's not a new verb, metrified. So it gives me access to the entire system. I can go, for example, to my computer and see my disks. I can also open, like you mentioned, with the Socialite application, open another Metro application from which I want to read out a file. In this particular case, my file is located in the downloads directory, and it is the Scott Goo transparent image. I'm going to open that up. So let's take a look at the code that I've written for this particular functionality. It's quite, there we go. So let's go to the landing page.xaml.cs. So in this event handler that triggered when I clicked on that button, you see a couple of lines to actually get that functionality that I just showed you. We see that I used the file open picker. And through a language projection, WinRT, because the file open picker is part of WinRT, the WinRT component behaves like it is traditional .NET. The var keyword, I'm using a constructor in this particular case, it is regular XAML. I don't have to learn, a regular C#. I don't have to learn anything new. And you know that it's WinRT because it is in the Windows namespace. Everything in WinRT is part of the Windows namespace, and that's what you see here. So I'm instantiating a file open picker in this particular case. On the second line, I'm simply saying filter out all the files that don't end with PNG. And then at the third line, that is a very important one. In this case, I am actually selecting or allowing the user to select a single file using the pick single file method. But it's not pick single file, it's actually called pick single file async. The async suffix probably refers to the fact that this method is asynchronous. Now, Katrine already mentioned that Windows 8 is all about performance. And calls that in WinRT could take longer than 50 milliseconds are by default done asynchronously. This is because the system should remain fast and fluid all throughout the run of your application. So things that take longer than 50 milliseconds are automatically done asynchronous. Things like I/O, they are by default slow. Interacting with the disk, it is slow. It's done automatically on an asynchronous way. So that is done, as you can see here, using this pick single file async. People coming from Silverlight or Windows Phone development, they already know how to do asynchronous calls to a service. They say, I have this asynchronous method, and when that asynchronous call to a service completes, this callback is going to execute. Now, you don't see a callback event handler here. What you do see is the use of the await keyword. Maybe you already know it. It's already available as an add-on for C# 4, but this is pure C# 5. The await keyword has been built into C# in version 5, as you can see here. Basically, what this await keyword does, it makes your callback in line, basically. That's what it's doing. All the lines that are sitting below this await keyword, all these lines, are going to wait to execute until the await line has finished, until the asynchronous call has finished. That is very important. If you use the await here, you see that we also have to use the async keyword in the method declaration as well. So await is a really easy way, a very clean way to go around something messy like asynchronous development. It's a really handy way to do something like that. And then for the rest, I'm instantiating a bitmap image. I'm setting the source of that bitmap image to the file that was selected, again, asynchronously, as you can see here. And then for the rest, I'm setting the image source to that bitmap image, something that you know if you use some XAML already. Okay, the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to take a picture of myself, which normally doesn't go very well, but anyway. So what you see here now is I clicked on that button, but Windows 8 doesn't allow me, the Windows 8 application doesn't really allow access to the webcam immediately out of the box. No, there is something green popping up here. So this is a capability that you see here, and it is actually being checked by something called the runtime broker, and Katrine is going to come back to that in just a second. Now, my application wants to use the webcam. Now, because of privacy things, the user should be notified that the webcam is going to be used. Otherwise, you can do all kinds of stuff that you shouldn't be doing. So my application is going to ask the user, is it okay to use the webcam? this actually the application has defined a capability saying that it is going to use the webcam. And then the runtime broker is going to check if that capability has been asked. And secondly, it's going to prompt the user to see if he really allows to access the webcam. Of course, I'm going to do that here. So click on the Allow button. I'm going to put myself in front of the screen. Now, this is something really weird. I've never seen so many me's.
Fantastic. You already are GUIifying yourself there, I think.
I'm ghostifying myself, I think, but anyway. Okay, so this UI is built into Windows in Windows RT. This is the camera capture UI. And I'm going to make a selection, a cropping of my head there. Okay. Let's first take a look at how this is done in code. So this Take Picture button actually used the camera capture UI. That's the UI that you saw to do the webcam capturing. Now, I can't, when I execute this code, the runtime broker is going to check whether or not I have specified a capability in the manifest file of my application, in the Epix manifest. In the capabilities tab, here you can see, I hope you can read it, there is a webcam checkbox down at the bottom that says I am going to interact with the webcam. Think of when this application is going to be published in the Windows Store. It is going to say, well, this application uses this and this. It uses, for example, your webcam. Okay. So then I'm going to capture that image. I'm going to do that asynchronously as well, because this is something that might take longer, and it's probably going to take longer. Then I'm interceding a bitmap image again, setting the source of that bitmap image. And finally, I set the image controls source to that bitmap image. And we are actually where we are in the application at this very point. So now I'm going to apply the magic. I'm going to GUIify myself. There we go. And so now I've raised myself a bit in level. I'm a bit closer to the GUI. So this is actually traditional XAML that I'm doing here. Let me very briefly show you the code for this. So in the Apply Magic button, I'm using an image brush. I'm using an ellipse. I'm using a thickness. So this is actually very traditional XAML development. So C# works perfectly for me.
Right. So let's switch back to some slides, and then you're going to continue on the demo?
Yeah.
Extend this demo? So I want to step into there to talk a bit about the application execution environment that we have. So the application execution environment in the Windows runtime, it really gives you a new execution environment that is built around giving end users, together with the Windows Store, giving end users, built for performance, but also the confidence and the trust in running applications. And this ties directly to what Gilles mentioned around the capabilities. They know they can trust those applications because they don't go out of their zone. Now, the application execution environment, when your application runs, and your application can be created in JavaScript again, or managed, or C++, it always runs in in the app execution environment, and your application running there, we call this the app container. So the app container communicates directly to the core OS, really does calls with the Windows runtime APIs, direct calls, native calls to the OS. And a lot of these call compositions are direct, as I mentioned. However, there's also some element at some point where the user consistency, the data consistency, the user privacy, the security could be compromised. And in that case, those elements like the webcam, accessing the pictures library or the machine, accessing the microphone, and accessing location services, things like that, go through a broker. And this broker is where you can choose and set which of those elements you want to interact with, you want to use. And in the case that Gilles was showing, you have the webcam accessed, so you ask permission to use the webcam so that users install your application through the store know they will need probably to allow access to the webcam. I want to mention here as well, so you have the templates in Visual Studio. You already have those XML files integrated, so you can even have a UI to check boxes. One very important thing is remember to check those boxes. We both had we run into the issue of building our demo and having some errors without error messages. Almost everyone that starts building one of these applications forgets to check one of those boxes, and the error messages are not clear at all. So don't check everything, because that will not publish your application on the Windows Store either. But remember to check the ones that you need. So you go through a broker. There's a second thing that is really important that is also different compared to classic desktop applications. In Windows RT, in the app execution environment, the application model, we also have a new state. Now, Windows Metro-style applications, Windows 8 applications, run in the full screen normally or in snap mode, but take the full attention of the user, and the other applications are mostly not visible at that time. When that happens, the resources, the performance is so important, the resources go to that application. So your application you're running at that moment takes all the attention of the user, but also the attention of the system. So your application that is at that time in the background will go into a suspended mode. This is really important because your application at that time is actually really in suspended mode. So it's running, it's in memory, but it's not doing anything. Schedulers are not doing anything with that process. At certain points, if your if the device has a memory problem, for example, your application will simply be terminated as well. And you have events you can subscribe to act on upon that, but this is also a very important concept to think about or to learn when developing Metro applications. On top of that, when we're building Metro applications, what we also have created are a set of controls, a set of controls that you can style through. If it's in a XAML, you can style these in XAML for the presentation. If you're doing HTML, the same controls on par, mostly the same controls exist, exactly the same controls in HTML5 as well and CSS. So you're going to style your controls in CSS. Now, in the HTML version, the controls are a part of the controls are built as intrinsic controls, so directly in the Windows runtime, in the APIs. And another set of those controls are built as JavaScript libraries. So you can compare that a bit to jQuery UI or MooTools or things like that. The controls include data grid, grid views, include spell checking as well, integrated into every text box and every text element. You have flip views. I think it's a good moment to also
use show
some of those controls exactly.
Okay. Switch back to number 3. Okay. So there is a second part to the Googlefire application. I've closed it down. I'm going to run it again. And I hope you can see down there at the bottom right, there is a button. And that says it has the text more. That button is actually placed inside something called the application bar, which is one of those new controls Katrine was referring to. The application bar should be familiar if you've already done some Windows Phone development. It's basically the same concept. Now, Windows 8 Metro-style apps shouldn't be cluttered with toolbars and menus and stuff like that. No, the content is important, not the Chrome. And so all the commands should be hidden as much as possible or should be grouped in one single location. And that's what I'm doing here. So here I've placed the one command that my application needs to go to another page down there in an application bar at the very bottom. Now, this application bar is made persistent. You can also make it hide itself after a specific time or also when you do something else with the application. That's a dismiss mode that you can use for that. Let me very quickly show you that application bar. So here we have the application bar control, and inside of it I have at this point one button visible. Styling, exact same thing. And then I have a click event handler on that button. I can then navigate to another page. And again, for the people coming from Silverlight or Windows Phone development, this is more or less the same thing as the navigation concept in Silverlight with a frame and a page. As you can see here, I'm navigating to another type. It doesn't end with .xaml by default. It navigates to another type. And that type is, in this case, the library. And let me go back to the application. And there we go. So I click on this More button, And then you can see I'm a bit of a fan here, as you can see. I've done some collecting of images. These images are now placed in a control that you just mentioned, the grid view. And the grid view is, well, it's basically a list box that you know from WPF or Windows Phone or Silverlight, but it's optimized for touch, and it shows, of course, the elements next to each other in several lines as much as it finds place on my device resolution. So as you can see, if I would have a touch device, you would see that it is also possible to swipe through this. Of course, it's also possible to do this with the mouse. As you can see, there is a scroll bar at the bottom. It's very performant. It also supports virtualization, for example, out of the box. You don't have to do anything for that. So I've shown you, what you can see here are pictures that are on my device. And in the beginning, I mentioned that my Windows 8 MetroStyle app can't directly access system resources unless the user in some way allows it to do so. Well, again, this is done through a capability. Let me go back to the code. So I'm reading out the pictures library on my device. And in the library page, let's scroll up. There we go. So in that, in the unnavigated too, so when the page is loading, I'm actually reading out the pictures library, which is part of the known folders enumeration. Now, reading out that pictures library is also, again, something that the MetroStyle application should ask the user to do so. And there is no prompt for that, but I do have to check it inside of the capabilities list as another capability. So, again, in the Windows Store, the user will know that this application will be able to access his pictures library access. You can see all these capabilities like accessing the documents folder and so on and so forth. So what I'm doing next then is I'm going to read out all the files, again, async, because this is disk, an I/O operation. To do at the disk, it's going to be slow. So that's why it's done asynchronously. Then I'm going to loop throughout all the files that I find, check if the file ends with JPEG, and then I'm going to create a list of images. And then through some regular data binding expressions, I'm going to bind that grid view to that image collection. If we take a look at the XAML very quickly, there we have the grid view. I could easily change this by simply typing in the list box, and it would still keep on working, of course, without the optimizations for Windows 8 MetroStyle apps. Even if you have an item template created in another XAML platform, you can simply copy that. It will normally keep on working. So it's that easy to actually leverage your knowledge towards Windows 8 MetroStyle apps. Okay, and the final thing that I'm going to show you is, there we go, I'm going to show you the sharing contract. So Katrine showed a few of those sharing contracts in the beginning on the Windows 8 tablet device. I'm going to show you how to do that sharing between apps. Just to recapitulate, what exactly is that sharing? So there are several contracts available in Windows 8 that allow applications to, well, communicate with each other without knowing each other. So there's no reference between applications that is necessary. They can simply use Windows like a mediator. One application says, I'm going to share information. Other application says, well, I am interested when someone else is starting to share that information. And Windows is actually going to link these two. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to share one of the images of my collection. There we go. So I'm going to select it. And then there is a share button at the bottom right. I can also do this through the charm here, so through the through the share charm. I'm going to do it via code here. So I'm going to share that image. Other applications that are registered with Windows to accept that kind of content are going to appear in this share UI that you see here on the right. So that green bar is the share UI. And I'm going to use one of the SDK samples. There are tons of SDK samples available out there that you can use to learn how to leverage all the knowledge of XAML in Windows 8. So I'm going to use the contract SDK sample, which is one of the target, which is actually registering itself as a target. So I'm going to open that. And you can see that it has now accepted some a title, a description, and an image of Scott Guthrie. So how did I actually do that? Let's go back to the code. So in the library, scroll a bit down. First, I'm going to set up that my application is actually going to share data. How I'm going to do that is through a data transfer manager. I'm going to say, well, this application is going to share some data. And I'm going to subscribe to the data requested event in this event handler in this particular case, this is going to be called when the target app is going to say, well, give me now that data that you're sharing. When I click on that button, on the share image button, I'm actually going to set up what I want to share. In this case, I'm going to share the title, the description, and the thumbnail. And then I'm going to ask the data transfer manager to show that sharing UI so that the sharing can actually start. That's what you see here. Data transfer manager, show share UI. That's going to make that green bar at the right appear. And then when I'm actually sharing, then the data requested event is going to fire. The other app is going to say, well, give me that data. And then this data requested is going to fire off. And then I'm actually sending the data to my other application. So with that, I think we have an end-to-end application that we shortly can publish on the Windows Store.
That will be a success.
Everyone it will be a
will
success.
Be trying to be the goo.
Yeah.
So let's review what Gilles has done in these in the two parts of the demo, really. What you can see is that we're using C Sharp. In this case, managed language. We're using C Sharp, and it actually feels, using the Windows Runtime APIs, it actually feels like using .NET. It's not .NET, but it does feel like it.
It
means
very
your
natural.
Skills, it feels natural. The second thing is using XAML also still feels natural, and it's pretty much the same concept. With the capabilities that you have to, where you have to check those boxes, to declare the intent that you're going to, your application is going to do something specific, you can also have a rich access to the platform itself, to the device, to the OS, that are exposed through those Windows runtime APIs. Very important, the asynchronicity. I'm not sure if that's a word.
That's a new word, then.
It's a new word
Another
I'm inventing.
Word, yeah.
The async factor or pattern. Tomorrow, there's a talk by Alex Turner on async. I think it's really important that you go watch it, not just for Metro, but async is really an important element today to also start using, especially in C# 5. You have the await keyword, which allows you to use it in a much easier way than previously. We have also seen that you have a good set of controls that you can style and use in XAML or in HTML. We haven't seen the HTML part, but you can also use the same ones. And using the contracts like the data manager or the data transfer manager, sharing information, either in sharing information in the form of reading that information or accepting information from other applications or sharing it to other applications without knowing upfront which application, really makes an important part of the Windows runtime and the Metro style applications, because applications take the full UI, take the full space available, and the user has to concentrate or should concentrate on your application. So the fact that you integrate with other applications is just going to enable them to stay longer in your application. And you don't have to duplicate things that are already there. Now, I'm going to do also have had some fun. I also tried something similar to you.
Okay. Let's see.
I think I'm also a bit of a fan of the goo,
okay.
I must admit. I'm sure lots of you are too, so that's good. So I'm going to do a demo using now JavaScript, HTML, and CSS, also using the same Windows Runtime APIs. Now, the HTML engine that we use in Windows, in Metro-style applications, is the same engine as IE10 in this case. But it's not the browser. That's very important. We're not running the browser in your Windows Metro style application. It is Windows runtime, and it is using the same engine. Now, this engine itself has been, we have been doing great investments. If you have seen the investments or the additions that we have implemented on standards support in IE9, there's also a great addition. Now in IE10, it's much more than that. We are working with the W3C to enable new layout forms. Like we're working with W3C to standardize the grid, to standardize Flexbox. We're also implementing multi-column and things like that, so that from a layout perspective, you have much better support than going to complicated CSS tricks or tables like we used to do long ago. And we're also implementing in IE10 and in the HTML engine for metro style applications, things like CSS transitions, CSS 3D transitions, and things like that, so that your applications are actually alive and through standards support. So I'm going to switch to my tablet again.
Maybe increase the font size a bit.
And I could indeed increase the font size a bit. So let me run the application first. Just run the application and let's see what I have
cooked up.
Cooked up. Okay, so this is the point where you'll see a catastrophic failure because it's going to fail horrendously how I'm going to place my head in there. Yes. And this is the result. I'm also going to have an option to go and look at all my trials and how well am I evolving in my GUIfying myself. I think I'm failing catastrophically. So let me go to the code now. And let's have a look at the elements of what I'm using here. So I'm not using the camera capture UI itself, as Jill was using. I'm actually using the access to the webcam directly and using the stream of the webcam and loading that. And I'm placing an image with a transparent PNG with a transparent zone on top of that. And visually, you get it. Then, on top of that, I'm using a canvas element because I'm using JavaScript, CSS, and HTML. I'm also using Canvas to combine those two and then export those to the system, to the file system. So the application, let's stop running from now. The application itself consists of, well, first of all, the HTML page itself. I might show that element of an app bar because Jill was showing it too. I have an app bar in this case. It's an HTML app bar. It's a div, and then we use some of the controls, like built-in intrinsic controls that are exposed through Windows API through the Windows RT APIs itself. On top of that, I also, let me switch to the home page, which is really the fragment of the page that is loaded with the GUI. I also have a bit of the same type of importing scripts, and I have the header. Let me show you the part where I load the video. It's simply a video tag, an HTML5 video tag. And then I control that with JavaScript calling the Windows Runtime APIs. I also have enabled the microphone and webcam access in the capabilities. Let me show you also, there's CSS to control the styling. And it's really, if you're used to doing HTML5, HTML in general, this is the way to go. And this is the element of the grid I was mentioning. It's using a vendor prefix because it's not a standard yet, but it is in the works we're working to have a standard. So you can use the big over-encompassing grid and then position the elements in the grid. It's really easier to position elements in this way. And then I'm styling and giving some display. Then the home page, which is the one that's loading the information. I'm going to show you a few of the elements of doing stuff like Jill was doing, but with JavaScript as a language. So let me first go into the elements where we also are doing some async stuff, but we're in this case, not calling the camera capture API or the camera capture UI. I'm calling the media capture. I'm calling the media capture itself, which gives me the stream, and I then load that into the video tag, which in real time will give me my head into that GUIfied version of myself. What is interesting here or important is that we are also working in an async form. Now, async, this metaform in JavaScript, is exposed through or is implemented in something called promises. So I do something, and then I use the then keyword, and it's implemented in the win.js, which is a JavaScript library for Windows runtime. The then keyword is then used to run the code that will fire once it comes back. And then I simply go load the ID, which it's a get element ID, and create a URL from that data and attach it to the source and do a play. And that is as easy as that to get that video loading a few lines of code. What is also important, I'm going to show a few other elements. What I'm also doing is once I take the picture, I can simply use a canvas element to actually put those two elements together, the background and the foreground, and then some positioning, and then place that into a new image tag and show it. Now, I also showed you the list of my trials, which is also a list view, but in HTML5 and in HTML version, it's a bit different. There's a few small, or big differences, actually, because it's HTML. I'm using a control as well, and it's a list view control in this case. And then I'm loading that with JSON data and binding it in JavaScript. But what's interesting to note here is that I'm also using some controls and some binding and some templates. A bit, the concept is like a XAML, but it's in HTML. And I'm binding to some of the properties like title, background color, URL of the picture, and then I'm applying that templating, binding it. So the concepts are the same. So this is the similar application. Now, there's one thing extra I want to do, which is I'm going to integrate a C++ library. For instance, if you want to do something that is high, something you cannot do in JavaScript, well, you can use objects that are created in C#, so Windows Runtime Components, that someone else created or that you create in C# in managed languages or in C++, and you can simply reference those and integrate those into your JavaScript project. So the interop between the two also exists and is an important element. So what I did was I saw the demo at Build and I contacted my colleague. So they just shared their C++ library, which does some image munging on the image, and let's implement that. I already prepared it. I'm just going to show you how I can add it, add an existing project. I'm in part one. I have a C++ project, and I'm going to add a reference to this project, and then I'm going to call that from a JavaScript. So in this solution, add the reference. The reference has been added here. And in my in my JavaScript, I already created a variable that is going to hold the image processor. And I'm just going to initialize the imaging processor that's going to apply the effect. And I'm going to, once the image has been added, I'm just going to call a function that will, let's just look at the definition of this function. It's going to open the file that has been just created at that moment. Once the file is created, apply the effect and then show it back again in an image, in a new image. Let me show you here, in a new HTML image object. That's simple. So let's run that. And let's just rebuild everything. Rebuild a C++ project, which does take a bit of time. And now what I'm going to do is when I GUIfy myself, I'm going to create a canvas, save the image to the hard disk, and then load that image and apply the effect and show it next to it. Now, important here, because I changed something in the project structure, I need to reallow access. This is a capability and the declaration of the intent. Let's see. So it's all asynchronous, so you see that some stuff is coming later. That's fine. I'm using I'm using promises. So I'm saving the picture, putting it in the canvas, displaying it, and then applying the effect, And then I have a beautiful catastrophic failure, as I was calling it. All right, let's switch to slides. So with this, we saw C++, we saw managed languages, and we saw HTML supported with the same capabilities, depending on what you want to do, your skills, or the project that you need to do at that moment. So you can build great applications with HTML5. You can reuse a lot of stuff from web versions of applications. We have a lot of improvements in the HTML engine that are coming also in IE10, but they're not running the browser in Windows runtime and Windows Metro applications. We have the same set of controls, really, that XAML allows us to use, or C++. And I can reuse Windows runtime components that have been built in managed languages or in C++ really easily. Now, let's just finalize with the way that you're going to distribute consumer applications, especially. Enterprise applications on Metro will have other ways to distribute, but the majority of the applications, especially in tablets and all, will be applications installed by end users, consumers, through a Windows Store. Now, the Windows Store is the way that applications will be installed, but also discovered. And this is a great opportunity for you as a developer, a startup a developer that wants to do a new game or a new application, or an enterprise that wants to sell applications. Now, creating applications, packaging applications for the Windows Store is all really is built into the Visual Studio. So in Visual Studio, you will be able to package those applications, get them ready to publish them on the store. The Windows Store will be available in Belgium, will be available in a lot of countries in the world, and will be the way for you to sell your application. So you have different business models, either offer it for free, either have a way of in-app purchase or a subscription-based purchase. So you have several ways of making money, really, or ad-based services can be implemented as well in your application. I think it's important that you already take a look at the Windows Store opportunities, and there's one blog where you can find all the information that is available today, and more is to come on your opportunity as a developer there. So with that, what is next from now, from this session? This session hopefully gave you a good overview of the Windows runtime APIs, of the app execution engine that is now built into Windows. Next, I would recommend you to follow some of the Metro Windows 8 sessions. Remember that this is the way to prepare you for the beta or the consumer preview that is coming in exactly 15 days. So we have a set of sessions, and Bart is going to do a more deep dive into the Windows runtime. You know, if it's a level 200 and Bart is Meti speaking, it's actually going to be a level 300, but I think everyone is fine with that. Then we're also going to have some sessions by Jeff and by Laurent, also to see how you can reuse those skills. For example, Laurent Vignon is going to talk about MVVM and how you go from phone to Windows 8 as well. And for Belgium, there's one scoop or one announcement. Please save the date, 23rd of March, for a Windows 8 Developer Day. If you're up to it in the evening, you can even stay late and program all night or until midnight or with what time you want to, and create your first applications together. It's going to be really fun. Save the date. The registration is coming soon. There is one link you can find the most important information, and lots is coming. Windows 8 is beta is already there. Or it's almost there, so really excited to get there. With that, you also get a Metro readiness map with that event and with other events that allow you to get into Metro. You get this map once the consumer preview is ready. You get a printed version in your via snail mail, so not online, simply via snail mail in your office or in the address that you gave us. With that, hopefully this gave you a good overview. thanks for attending, and let's keep a few questions for the end, or we stay here anyway until the end of the session. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.